church. Look around you. First thing, I want you to find someone around you that's good looking. Don't laugh right then. That could hurt someone's feelings. But find someone that you don't mind looking at. I want you to look at them right in the eyes and tell them this. Tell them the rest of your life. That was really bad. Maybe find someone better looking than that person. I don't know. Maybe find someone else. Don't everyone look up here. Okay. Try this. Point to yourself. Say the rest of my life. There, that's good. Well, be the best of my life. One more time. Say the rest of my life will be the best of my life. How many believe the rest of your life really could be the best of your life? Let me see your hand. Over at North County, how many believe? It doesn't matter how good things are going for you right now. The rest of your life could be the best of your life. Doesn't matter how bad things are going for you right now. The good news is the rest of your life could be the best of your life. One more time. Say it with me. Say the rest of my life will be the best of my life. Now I'm going to get you to say as much as I can, because what you continually hear, you'll eventually believe. It's like if you heard your whole life, you're dumb, you're stupid, you'll never make anything of yourself. Eventually, you'll start believing that. But if you keep hearing the rest of your life will be the best of your life. Plus the Bible, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, that you might have and enjoy life, it says in the Amplified. Now it doesn't say that everything's going to be perfect in your life. How many of you ever noticed that? Yeah, you know, if you got your Bible, look over in John real quick. John chapter 16. What an honor it is for me to be with you guys this weekend here at The Rock. And I love your pastor. He is such a great friend. He's one of those people, you know those kind of people, the more you're around them, the more you like them. You know, then there's other people, the more you're around them, you know. But he's one of those, the more I'm around him, the more I like him. He's just been such a blessing. I was telling the other service, I'll never forget the first time I met him, because I'm like, there he is, Pastor Miles. You know, I always wanted to meet him, and we're at this conference, and there he is. And, you know, he's got, I've read his book, Do Something. I mean, I'm there he is, and I'm so excited. And I take off to meet him, so I kind of run before he leaves. Have you ever had a pair of shoes that the sole breaks on them? You know what I'm talking about? And it flaps when you walk. How many know what I'm talking about? You seen that? All of a sudden, by the time I turn around to go, my shoe broke, and I ran up to him. It's flapping the whole way. I'm like, I'm a little embarrassed, you know. I'm like, Pastor Miles, this one to be yet. And he goes, man, what happened to your shoe? I mean, first thing, you know, I'm like, oh, this is embarrassing. And, you know, I'm like, Pastor Miles, big, great church. And, you know, oh, he reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out this big wad of money he had. And I was like, oh, well, that's awesome. He's going to bless me at least, you know, help me. You know, get some new shoes. He had a rubber band around the money, and he took the rubber band off. He's like, here, and put this around your shoes so you can get some new ones. He's just been such a blessing in my life like that, and I just want to say thank you. But no, seriously, you guys are blessed to have a pastor like that. He's not just your pastor, but he's your coach. He's your trainer. He's kind of, anybody ever worked out with a trainer? Anybody here ever worked out with a trainer? Okay, a few people. I've got a trainer, obviously. And you didn't think this is a natural, did you? The other day, my wife told me, she said, honey, you have got the body of a god. I was like, thanks. She said, yeah, Buddha. But anyway, a good trainer, what a good trainer does is a good trainer will push you further than you'll push yourself. You know, where you're like, I'm going to do one more. They're like, you could do three more. I'm like, no, seriously, this is good. Like, come on, you could do this. And they push you just a little bit further. And the last one, you know, the one you'd have never done, the one that hurt the worst, that's the one that caused the most good or the most change to take place. You'd have never seen the change you were really looking for if you hadn't had someone that was willing to push you and cared about your seeing results happen in your life. And you got a great pastor, a great trainer, Pastor Miles. He may push you a little bit. Sometimes you may feel stretched a little bit, but it's just because he wants to see you develop and become everything that God wants you to be. So I encourage you, keep praying for them, praying for their family. I know this has been a rough week, but while he's away, just keep them all in your prayers. Amen? All right, if you got your Bible, where did I say to turn? John 16, yeah, it's all good. Just turn in there somewhere. You ever done that? Opened your Bible, just like, God, give me something. Anybody? You won't go to hell. Let me see your hand if you ever done it. Okay. I did that the other day. I'm like, God, you got to give me something. I don't even know what to do. I looked down, it was that scripture where Judas hung himself. I was like, flip the page, try to get another. Oh, try that again. But John 16:33, I love what this scripture says. here. I grew up in church. Just a little bit about me. I grew up in church. My dad's a preacher. My grandfather's a preacher. My great-grandfather was a preacher. I've been in church my whole life. I'm probably one of the most saved people you'll ever meet. I've been saved a lot. About 173 times. Because the church I grew up in, anybody here grew up in church? Let me see if you grew up in church. Okay, quite a few people in this service. Did anybody grow up in a church like I did? Everything was a sin. Did anybody go to that kind of church? Look at all those hands. Man, aren't you glad to, whoa. We couldn't do anything. Going to the movies, sin. Bowling, sin. Video games, sin. Everything's a sin. If me and my brother wanted to play, we played church. That's the only thing we could do that wasn't a sin. And we'd sneak over to the church, and I'd get up and I'd preach, and my brother, he'd come down and get saved. And so he's been saved quite a few times too. And I'd baptize him until my dad caught us in the baptismal and took us out and whipped us. We didn't get time out when I was a kid. And we got time. Only time out we had was when dad took time out to whip us. That was it. And my dad was a very patriotic man. I mean, my whole life, he was laying stripes. We were seeing stars, you know. We didn't grow up in a church that learned about the good things of God and the grace of God and that kind of thing. I mean, it was just like, I mean, we couldn't, it was tough. We thought you were supposed to be poor because poor people go to heaven. That's what we heard. We did everything we could to stay broke. My dad would tell us if the ice cream truck was playing music, that meant they were out. That's bad. We go to KFC and lick other people's fingers. Yeah, but that's just kind of how we grew up. But I began to get in the Word of God for myself. Now, growing up, my mom had this little loaf of bread. It was like a plastic loaf of bread, and it had a bunch of scriptures inside it. And in the morning, it'd be on the dining room table, and you could pull the scriptures out and read them. It was called Daily Bread, and it was little promises and scriptures from God, and it was great. Our family would read them for our devotion in the morning before school. And I found this scripture here. Now, I never found it in that little box, but I did find it here in the Bible. It's in John 16:33. And it says, I told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Confidence is good. I want to have confidence in who you are, confidence in God. Then there is even a level above confidence called Godfidence. I mean, one's that know who you are, one's that know whose you are. It's a big difference right there, but it's good to have confidence. How many have ever struggled with confidence? Yeah, we've all struggled, all had things happen to us. I mean, my first job was at a pet store, and people kept coming in asking how much I was. That's hurtful. Yeah, it hurts your confidence. Another time in high school, this girl called me. She goes, hey, why don't you come over to my house? Nobody's home. I went over there. There wasn't nobody home. That's hurtful. You know, you just deal, you go through things. And so I just used to have really low self-esteem. One time I painted a blue square in my backyard just so Google Earth would think I had a pool. That's bad. That's really low self-esteem. But here the Bible says that you could be at perfect peace and have confidence in the world. It says right here, in the world, we live in the world. It says you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Oh, that's awesome. I never read that one in that little promise loaf of bread thing. But it says it right there. In the world, you will have tribulation. And trials, and distress. How many have ever had any of those? Yeah, things got a little bumpy in life. Have you ever been on an airplane that hit turbulence? Yeah. What did you do when the airplane hit turbulence? Prayed. You'll maybe listen for an instruction. Let me ask you this. When the airplane hit turbulence, did anybody get off right then? No, you didn't get off. How many have ever hit some turbulence in life? Yeah, things get a little bumpy in life. What do? The same thing, really. You pray, make sure you're buckled up, listen for an instruction, but you don't quit. You don't get, you know, just quit life and get off alive. I mean, you still had to go through life. I was on the plane next to a lady, and she'd never flown before, and so we were talking for a few minutes. She goes, I never flown before. I'm like, don't worry, I'm on the plane. It'll be fine. And so we talked for a few minutes. I fall asleep pretty quick, so I fell asleep on the flight, and so we were about 20 minutes in the flight. I'm asleep. We hit some turbulence, and it starts getting a little bumpy, and she starts hitting me. She goes, hey, wake up. I'm like, huh? She's like, do something. I'm like, what? What do you want me to do? She goes, I don't know. Aren't you a preacher? I'm like, I'm a preacher. I'm not a pilot. I don't know what I can do about turbulence. You know, she goes, I don't know. She goes, do something religious. So I'm like, all right. So I got up and took an offering. In the world, you're going to have trials and tribulation and distress, it said, and frustration. But look what it says right after that. I love the scripture right after that. But be of good cheer. I like that. What do you mean, be of good cheer? I'm in the middle of tribulation and trials and distress. How can I be of good cheer? How can I be in a good mood right in the middle of all that kind of stuff? Well, the Bible says we can, because why? It says, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. Jesus said, for I have overcome the world. I've deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. I don't know about you, but that sounds like pretty good news to me. So that even in the middle of the things I may face in life, we've all had challenges. We all go through rough times and trials and frustrations and all those things. He's like, even in the middle of all that, you can still be of good cheer. I don't know about you, but I tend to like happy people. I tend to gravitate more toward people who look happy and kind of stay away from those. Don't be of good cheer. Life was meant to be enjoyed. John 10:10 in the Amplified says that you might have and enjoy life. Life is a gift. Life is a gift. How many like getting gifts? Yeah. How many like unwrapping gifts? You know what I love about this gift? I remember buying my wife a gift for her birthday, and I picked it out just for her. You know, it wasn't like I went to Sam's or Costco and bought, you know, all my gifts that year in bulk and just gave everyone the same thing. I picked it out for her. And so I'm like, here, open it. And I wanted to watch her open it because I'd picked it out just for her. And I think that's kind of like what God's done with this gift called life, is he's picked it out just for you. I mean, none of us are alike. That's, you know, every one of us are different. The Bible talks about that. The other day, someone told me, said, Dave, you and me, man, we're just alike. I said, you know, you and me are just alike. One of us is unnecessary. And I'm going with you. No, I can't be you. You can't be me. I can't be Pastor Miles. I wish I could teach like you. I love listening. He's one of my favorite people to listen to. But I can't be him. I got to be me. I can't be Joyce Meyer. I can't be T.D. Jakes. I can't be Joel Osteen. Amen. You know. Every day is a Friday. I gotta be me. The other day, someone introduced me. They said, Dave Martin, he's kind of a mixture between Joel Osteen and Larry the Cable Guy. I'm like, what in the world does that look like? You know, get her done. You know, you gotta unwrap your gift. You gotta unwrap your life and enjoy it to the fullest. Gifts are meant to be enjoyed. A couple of Christmases ago, I bought my mother-in-law a gift for Christmas. I got her a cemetery plot. And so my mother-in-law. Anyway, I didn't get her anything last year, so she's mad at me. You didn't give me anything for Christmas this year. I'm like, you didn't even use what I got you. But listen, there's trials and tribulations and distress, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. You know, I think it's really a decision to be of good cheer. I think it's really a decision to enjoy life. I think it's really a decision you need to make. The Bible talks a lot to us about our decisions. You know, the average person makes about 2,500 decisions every day. There's a scripture in Psalms 118 that says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. That's a decision. You make a decision to rejoice. Because like I said, you're going to have trials and tribulations and distress and frustrations. So everything's not going to be perfect. Even in the middle of all that, I've got to make a choice to rejoice. See, yesterday, you don't understand what I went through yesterday. Yesterday's over. But you don't understand what I got tomorrow. Tomorrow's not here. All I've got is today. This is the day. He didn't say yesterday was the day I made. I hope you rejoiced. He didn't say tomorrow will be the day I make. Make plans now to rejoice. No, he said this is it. Today is really all you've got. You don't really have a tomorrow, because when you get to tomorrow, you're just going to rename it today. So how do you make the most out of today? I decided when I got up this morning, today is going to be a good day. It's my choice. I decided that. Well, everything just must be perfect for you. Well, no, nothing's perfect for anybody. It's my choice. I never wake up in a bad mood. Sometimes I wake up grumpy. I mean, sometimes I let her sleep. But Is this live on the internet? I'm just kidding. Love you. Anyway, it's a choice to rejoice. So I make a decision. So every day we have opportunities to make decisions. Let me give you three or four decisions real quick in the amount of time we got, because we don't have a long time. In the words of Kim Kardashian to her last husband, I won't keep you long. But let me give you these two real quick here. I'll get three or four. We'll see how far we can get. So number one, hey, make a decision to enjoy life. Make a decision that this is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to choose in the middle of whatever I'm facing to rejoice. I'm going to choose to give God praise in whatever situation I may be facing. Second decision, make a decision to seek out godly wisdom. Make a decision to seek godly wisdom. If you got your Bible, look over at Proverbs real quick. Look at Proverbs real quick. Let me show you a scripture here. Proverbs is one of my favorite books of the Bible because, I mean, it's full of the advantages and the importance of wisdom. And wisdom is powerful because really the only problem you'll really ever have in life is a wisdom problem. You don't really have marriage problems. You have wisdom problems. You don't really have health problems. A lot of times you just have wisdom problems. A lot of times you don't have financial problems. You have wisdom problems. And you'll find that the more wisdom you have, the less miracles you'll need. A lot of people are believing for miracles when if they'd have got wisdom, they'd have never been in the position needing a miracle. Now, I thank God for miracles. I believe in miracles, and I'm praying for some miracles right now. But I found a lot of times that there were situations, that it won't be true in every situation, but how many have ever said this? Man, if I'd have known back then what I know now. How many have ever made that statement before? That's what I'm talking about. That's where wisdom, if we'd had wisdom back then, we wouldn't have got in the position we were in where we needed God to bail us out because we'd have had the information. And the Bible is full of wisdom for every situation. Let me ask you this. How many would like the rest of this year to be better than the first part of this year? Yeah, most of us would. So how is the rest of this year going to be different than the first part of this year? Well, the only way to make the rest of this year different than the first part of this year is to do something different the second part of this year. It's like if I want tomorrow to be different than today, I've got to learn something today in order to make tomorrow different. If I go into tomorrow with the same information I have today, I won't really have a tomorrow. I'll just have a longer today. So I try to learn something every day. I learned the other day, you're more likely to get shot by a fat cop if you run. And there's all kind of stuff to learn, you know. I learned not everybody spells their name the same. I like to go back and sign books. So I'm in the back, you know, signing books. And like Sean, there's like three ways to spell Sean. Cindy, there's a couple ways to spell Cindy. I mean, there's all these different. Amy can be spelled like five ways. I mean, there's all kind of different things. And so I'm always learning stuff like that. And so I was at Starbucks the other day. There's a new girl in there. And so she was in training. And so she had her badge on, you know, trainee. And I was just kidding with her because I'm like, that's funny. Your mom named you trainee. You know, because this is on her badge. She looked at me, she said, it's Trinae. And I'm like, how would I have known that? How would I would have known that if I didn't, you know. So I'm saying you can always learn something. There's always something to learn. And so there's wisdom. Like I said, how many married people are in here? Married people. Wow, some happy ones in this service. It's awesome. How many single people? Single people. Happier? No. Whichever you are, enjoy the season you're in. It's funny. You see single people looking at married people. Oh, wish I was married. The married people looking at single people. Oh, freedom, freedom, freedom. You know, it's whatever season you're in, just enjoy it. But here's the thing. If you're married, how many married people, you and your spouse are totally different? Let me see your hand. Yeah, look, most married people. My wife and I, night and day different. She's from New York. I'm from Mississippi. Different. She's a northerner, I'm a southerner, different. She's Italian, I'm redneck, different. We're different. So we had to learn how to work this whole thing out. She grew up wealthy, we grew up poor. I told you, we thought you're supposed to be poor. Christmas, my parents would give us batteries, toys not included. You know, just different. So we had to learn to work the whole thing out. We needed wisdom. We needed wisdom in those situations. And so you'll find in your relationships, God will give you wisdom and help you. Single people, there's all kind of wisdom in the Bible for single people. A friend of mine is believing for a wife, and someone said, do you ever make a list of all the things you want in a woman? He said, well, no, I never made a list. She said, you need to make a list. God doesn't even know what you're looking for. He said, I never thought about that. So he wrote a list of all the things he wanted in a woman. Next day, she said, did you make a list? He said, I did. She said, let me see it. And he pulled out four pages of paper. She said, wow, four pages, that's a lot of stuff. She said, did you show that to God? He said, I did. She said, what'd God say? He said, God said, if he could find a woman like that, he'd probably get married. You know, but be realistic, but be specific. But here's what I love about the Bible. Whether you're single, whether you're married, there's everything you need you can find in the Word of God. I love that. Everything I need, I mean, I can find in God's Word. There's even, for singles, there's even good pickup lines in the Bible if you need them. I mean, that's amazing about, like the other day, I was reading the book of Numbers, and I realized I don't have yours. Like, see, that would be a Christian pickup line right there that you could use. I mean, just everything. Like, hey, girl, I think you got one of my ribs. Okay, so all I'm saying is everything you need, there's wisdom in the Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and verse number 5, get wisdom. Get skillful and godly wisdom, understand, discernment, comprehension. Do not forget and do not turn back from the words of my mouth. Forsake not wisdom, she'll keep you. Defend and protect you. Love her and she'll guard you. Wisdom will protect you. I always thought God would protect me. The Bible tells me wisdom protects me. How in the world does wisdom protect you? Here's one way. How many locked your car when you came into church? How many locked your car outside? Okay, look around for who didn't. Now, why did you lock your car? Did you lock your car because you don't trust God? No, you lock your car because you don't trust the people that might get in your car. So God gave you wisdom to protect you. Lock your car, it's more protected. See, that's where wisdom can protect you. It's little things, but it's understanding what that says. It goes on to say the beginning of wisdom is get it. I loved it when I went back and saw the big bookstore you guys have. I mean, I go to some church, little tiny, little three books or something over there. You guys got a huge bookstore with all this stuff. You know what that tells me is? That tells me is your pastor and the leadership believe in the value of wisdom. They understand how important it is. That's why they make a whole thing. That's why Pastor Miles wrote his books and has the DVDs and all that stuff available, is to help you. Believe me, they're not, you know, paying for everything from those things. They're doing it to help you to grow and to learn, because the Bible says whatever you do, get wisdom. Three ways you can get it. Number one, you can get it from mistakes. That's the slowest way to get wisdom, but that is one of the ways you can get it. How many of you ever learned from your mistakes? Yeah, most of us have. So that's one way to get wisdom. Second way to get it is to learn from someone else's mistakes. How many would rather get your wisdom like from Pastor Miles' mistakes? I would much rather learn from his mistakes than my own mistakes. That's called mentorship. God puts mentors and trainers in our life. I called one of my mentors the other day. I said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? He said, oh, I wouldn't do that if I was you. I said, why not? I think it's a great idea. He said, yeah, so did I. Oh, he'd already been there, done that, found out it didn't work. Just saved me a lot of time. That's called mentorship. That's another way to learn. The third way to get wisdom is you can buy wisdom. You can go to Barnes & Noble, you can go back here in the bookstore, and there's wisdom available for us to buy. The Bible said in Proverbs 3, the wisdom is more valuable than silver, more profitable than gold, more precious than rubies, and nothing I could wish for would be as valuable as having wisdom in my life. Let me ask you this, how many like to be doing better than you're doing right now? Okay, if you're not doing as well as you'd like to be doing, all that means is there's something you don't know. If you're not doing as well as you'd like to be doing, it just means there's something you don't know. And so when I heard that, I went from being a know-it-all to being a learn-it-all. You know, isn't it funny? You ever notice? I've noticed successful people learn from other successful people. A lot of times it's unsuccessful people that think they know it all. You ever notice it's always like your broke cousin that knows everything? And so I want to learn from other people. That's another way. What took a man years to figure out, I can learn in a few hours by buying a book. So I understand the value of wisdom. By the way, tomorrow night, if you're into wisdom and development, and you want to develop according to God's word and find principles for everything, how many have ever made a bad decision? How many like to know how to make right decisions all the time? That'd be great. How many have ever negotiated anything? Ever negotiated a car, a house? Anybody married? Okay, negotiation. I mean, all this stuff is in the Bible. Time management, or I like to call it time investment. I don't think you really manage time. I think you invest time. And all that kind of stuff is in the Bible. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, right here in the sanctuary, tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, we're gonna do a 90-minute success seminar. Absolutely free. We do these a lot of times in the corporate arena. We're going to do it here and just sow it into your life. Absolutely free. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Again, how many people want the second half of this year to be better than the first half of this year? Because that's the only people that need to come back. Yeah, if you really want, if you want to learn something different, to do something different, I'd encourage you to come back tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Now, North County, you guys have baptism at 6:30. So if you need to get baptized, don't go get baptized at the Carlsbad Lagoon. And but everyone else, get back here tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, 7:30, and we're gonna have a great time. It'll be well worth your investment, well worth your investment of time. And we're gonna talk more about the wisdom of God, because here's the thing: there's a difference between the person of Jesus and the principles of Jesus. The person of Jesus prepares you for heaven, but the principles of Jesus prepare you for earth. And so there's principles in God's word. You've got ungodly men who use godly principles. I read the other day, Donald Trump listed 10 things he does every day. All 10 of them I found in the book of Proverbs. So you got ungodly men using godly principles. When we as the church and the body of Christ have the Bible full of principles, we don't know them or understand them or know how to activate them and wonder why we're not getting ahead or getting as far as we could. So that's what we're going to get into tomorrow night. So I encourage you to be here for that. So make a decision to get wisdom. Let me give you another one. Make a decision to expect more of God's favor in your life. How many like to have more of God's favor in your life? When God shines his face upon you, I could talk to you about favor forever. I wrote a new book on favor. I love the subject of favor, because if we really understood God's favor. Now, I think God cares about every detail of our life. I think God cares about everything. How many believe God? I mean, he said he knows the number of hair on your head. Now, some of you, that's easier to count. But if he cares about those kind of details, here's what we've learned to do with favor. If you forget everything else I say about favor, in the next couple minutes, get this one thing. Whatever you recognize, you become thankful for. Look in Luke chapter 2. If you've got your Bible, go to Luke chapter 2 real quick. Let me show you a scripture there. Whatever you recognize, you become thankful for. Whatever you're thankful for increases in your life. Whatever you recognize, you become thankful for. Whatever you're thankful for increases in your life. So as I learn to recognize the little things that God does, I see it begin to increase into the bigger things that he can do. It's like, have you ever gone to the mall, the parking lot's full, you can't find a spot, but then all of a sudden the front spot opens up. That ever happened to anybody? Yeah, thank you, Lord, for favor. Really? A parking spot? You think God really cares about that? I mean, if he cares about the number of hair on my head, I think he cares about all the details of my life. So I begin to celebrate. I mean, thankfulness, what could be wrong with being thankful to God for anything? So I'm thankful. Thank you for the parking spot. You go to the restaurant, 40-minute wait. They give you the little pager thing, and in 10 minutes it goes off. What? Maybe someone just left early. Hey, thank you, Lord, for favor. Because whatever I recognize and whatever I celebrate, you're at the grocery store, person in front of you has a cart full of stuff, you got a gallon of milk, you got one thing, go ahead, you can go in front of me. Thank you, Lord, for favor. Me and a friend of mine got a couple of Cokes on the side of the cup. You could peel a little thing off on the side and win stuff. And so I'm peeling mine off. I said, thank you, Lord, for favor. He said, what are you doing? I said, hold on. I peeled mine off. I said, you want a Big Mac. I'm like, look at that, favor. He said, give me a break. That's not favor. I said, fine, peel yours off. He said, play again. He said, don't mess with me. So whatever you recognize, I'm teaching my little boy. He just turned 7. His name is Solomon. And so I'm teaching Solomon to recognize God's favor, to celebrate God's favor. Just 7. We're at Dave and Buster's. Y'all have Dave and Buster's here? We're at Dave and Buster's, and we're playing the arcade games and winning the tickets, you know, and you win tickets. And he'd won like 300 tickets. And, you know, for 300 tickets, you can trade it in at the prize thing. 300 tickets, you can get a spider ring. $87 for that stinking spider. Anyway, so we're getting ready to trade this in. All of a sudden, this guy walks up and goes, hey, buddy, I'm not going to use these if you want them, and hands my son this big stack of tickets. I'm standing right there. Hands him this. We got him counted. It was over 1,000 tickets. But he grabbed the tickets. He looks at him. He looks at me. He goes, Dad, favor. And I said, yes, if I can teach him at that age to celebrate and recognize that God cares about the details of my life, think in the future what God can do in his life, recognition of favor. Favor can change your medical report. Favor can restore relationships. Favor determines the level of your income. Get around right people, favor comes towards you. Get around wrong people, favor leaves. There's so much to understand about God's favor. But favor, here's what I've learned, favor always brings you to the top. no matter what you face. I mean, look at the life of Joseph. Joseph is one of my favorite examples of favor because his dad gave him a coat. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, Luke 2, verse 52, it says, and Jesus increased. Now, we're all trying to be like him. And we see here Jesus increased in wisdom. Well, if he had to increase in wisdom, why would I think I don't need to increase my wisdom? That pretty much give you a hunger for wisdom right there. And he increased in favor. Increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. God is the source of favor. Man is the instrument by which favor comes. So I need favor with God and with man. And so when you begin to recognize favor with God and man and see that, I started looking for ways. If Jesus had to increase his favor, I need to increase my favor. So I started looking for ways to increase my favor, looking at examples of favor like Joseph. Coat, dad gives him the coat. Coat of favor, his brothers throw him in a pit. Well, shoot, there went all his favor. No, they sell him as a slave. He ends up at Potiphar's house, and Potiphar puts him in charge of the house. He rises to the top. Well, from there, he runs into a problem with Potiphar's wife, and they end up throwing him in prison. Well, there went all his favor. No, in prison, the warden put him in charge of everything. Now he's running the prison. Again, he rises to the top. From there, he ends up interprets a dream for Pharaoh, and in 24 hours, he goes from living in prison to living in the palace. I mean, one day's in prison, the next day's in the palace. 24 hours. How many have got some areas where you need God's favor right now? In your life, in your relationships, in your health? How many like to see it happen in the next 24 hours? Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, one day he's in prison, the next day he's in the palace. That quickly, God turned everything around. Favor, I find that favor will accelerate your destiny. What took some people 10 years will take you a year. It took people a year will take you a day. When favor gets involved, favor accelerates things in your life. I had a guy in Tennessee wanted me to pray for him. He said, hey, Dave, will you pray for me? I need favor. I said, of course. He said, I believe what you said. 24 hours from now, my life could be different. I said, oh, I believe that too. He said, hey, pray for this. He reached in his pocket, handed me something. I said, what is it? He said, it's my lottery ticket. I said, I can't pray favor for your lottery ticket. He's like, come on, man, it's 83 million. I said, it may be 83 million, but I can't pray favor. He goes, if I win 24 hours from now, my life will be different. I said, that may be true, but I can't pray favor. He goes, look, I'll make a deal with you. He said, if you pray favor over this ticket, he said, I'm going to give your ministry the tithe, 8.3 million. And I said, man, in the name of Jesus, I pray. You never know how God's going to bless you. And it reminds me of this little old lady. She lived next door to this atheist. And this atheist would hear all the time praying to God. And he goes, I'm so tired of hearing this lady pray to God. There is no God. One day she was praying for groceries. She didn't have any food. She's praying for groceries. And he thought, here's my chance. I'm going to prove to her once and for all there is no God. So he went to the grocery store and he bought a couple bags of groceries. Came over, he put them on her steps, rang the doorbell, hid in the bushes. She came out, saw the groceries. She started thanking God for the groceries and praising God for the groceries. And the atheist jumped out of the bushes and said, I got you. He said, what do you mean? He said, God didn't bring you those groceries. I bought those groceries. I went to the store, I bought the groceries. I came over here, I put them on your steps. God had nothing to do with this. That little old lady looked down at her groceries and she looked over the atheist. She said, thank you, Lord, for the groceries and thanks for making the devil pay for it. You just never know. You'd never know how God's going to bless you. Expect favor. Expect favor. Let me give you one last one. One last one, and then we'll get out of here. Make a decision. And by the way, back in the bookstore, the book I was talking about on favor is available back there. I would encourage you, if you can only get one thing and you need more favor in your life, just the introduction of this book on the recognition of favor, how to recognize it and celebrate the little things will be well worth the investment in the book. And what took me years to figure out, you can learn in a few hours by reading this book. It's called The Force of Favor, 7 Ways to Increase Your Favor, and it's available back there. If you can only get one thing, I'm telling you, I think we got like less than 100 or 150 of them left or something like that. While we're here. And then we're going to teach on this tomorrow night, but we didn't bring enough of these for everybody because not everybody's into wisdom. But those who are, you might want to make an investment in yourself. This is a little system we put together. It's a coaching system. My passion, I like speaking, I enjoy it, but my real passion, what God's put in me, is to create resources to help you grow. I mean, I can get up here for you know, 30 minutes and share and that kind of thing, but to really get into understanding and seeing the Word and understanding how to develop that in your life, I took over 500 hours of studying great achievers. Whether it was great on the baseball field, the battlefield, the field of life, the business field, I found traits that were common in their life. It's not necessarily about people as it is about the traits in their life. And so as I studied those traits, I found 12 common traits. And this is what we'll teach on tomorrow night, a little bit of this. We won't get into all of the traits. We'll get into a couple of them and some other things that will help you. But if you're into growth and development, if you're a business owner, entrepreneur, and that kind of thing, and you want to grow, but from a biblical perspective, I put this system together. I think it'll really be a huge blessing to you because the Bible talks about negotiation. The Bible talks about decision-making. The Bible talks about all these things like responsibility. It's one of the traits. Passion. The two most important days in your life, the day you were born, the day you discover why. Why are you here? I read the other day, 52% of Americans hate their jobs because they haven't discovered their purpose. Romans talks to us about each one of us have different gifts and talents and abilities, how to discover your purpose. Courage, talking about courage in here. You got to have courage, courage to be yourself, courage to step out in faith, all those kind of things. Persistence, passion, all those different topics in here, 12 different topics. We put it together. You get a hardback. It's got a hardback book that goes with it. It's got 12 DVD sessions. I do a lot of coaching with like NASCAR, Mary Kay Cosmetics, people like that. I don't have time to sit down with every individual and do coaching. So God gave me this passion to develop these where I leave, but you can continue to grow and to learn by putting these in your life. So it's a 12-week coaching program, and there's a few of those left back there as well. 12 audio sessions, so all week you listen to the audio, you watch the video, you got a workbook and the book, all different ways to learn and to see the traits develop in your life while they're available back there. And I made it half price. In the corporate arena, we always sell it for like $400. In the church, my passion is to get it into people's life. So we make it half of that in the church arena. So you can get it for half price. Say thank you. It's half price. You at least be grateful. Anyway, if you get it, you also, there's a DVD back there you get for free called A Night of Hope and Humor. It's a lot of fun. My doctor actually, you know, in the Bible it says that a merry heart is good like a medicine. And my doctor actually prescribes laughter to people. He says 1 20-second belly laugh is like 3 minutes of aerobic exercise. So a good belly laugh, I mean, that's like exercise to your body. And so he'll prescribe, he goes, watch this DVD. Gives you lots of good belly laughs, and it's good to enjoy life. Anyway, you can't buy the DVD, but they'll give it to you for free if you get the coaching sessions. There you go. And make that investment in your life. Last one, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. Last decision I think you need to make is a decision to give generously. Make a decision to give generously. How many like giving? Let me see your hand if you like giving. Look at all those hands. We all like giving. Why do we like giving so much? I mean, why do we enjoy it? Well, I think the main reason is because it's the way God created us. God created us to be givers. He created us in his image. And he said he loved the world so much that he gave. So if we're created in his image, giving is part of who we are. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing? Pastor goes, hey, we got an opportunity to buy a building at this campus or to start a campus and get this building over here. We need $4 million or whatever. How many like to be able to go, hey, Pastor Miles, put me down for $100,000 of that? How many like to be able to do, it's not an offering, I'm asking. How many like to be able to, like, people are like, are these pledges? What are we doing? I'm just saying, how many like to be able to give like that? Yeah, God blesses us to be a blessing. Yeah, that's the reason. It's not about you. When he blesses you, he's got way more than you in mind. And when I always put first the kingdom, I heard about a church, the pastor got a telephone call at the church. The secretary answered the phone, and the guy said, yeah, I'd like to speak to the head hog at the trough. The secretary said, excuse me, do you mean our pastor? He said, yep, that's who I'm talking about, the head hog at the trough. She said, that's rude. That's our pastor. We love him. We respect him. We don't talk about him like that. Can I help you with something? And he said, yeah, I heard about your new building you're building up there at the church, and I just wanted to make a $100,000 donation. And she said, well, why didn't you say so? Hold on, let me check, see if Porky's in. You know, I'm blessed to be a blessing. When you really understand that, we all, how many like to be able to give more than you give right now? Yeah, generosity is just a part of who we are. For God loved the world so much that he gave. What did he give? He gave his only son. His only son would be his very best. And I think about that every time I have an opportunity, like in just a few moments, we'll have an opportunity to give to God. And when I think about that, when I go by to do that giving, I think about it. He gave me his very best. Why wouldn't I want to give back to him my very best? I mean, especially when you understand that everything you've got came from him. I mean, the fact that I woke up this morning, I could breathe because of him. My wife, my car, everything I've got, to bring back a little bit to him is not a hard thing for me to do, and I understand it's all his anyway. Now, I grew up, I didn't learn that growing up in church. We learned, boy, you better pay your tithe or God will kill you. We went to kids' church. They taught us songs, you know, God will take it out of your hide if you don't pay your tithe. Yeah, we didn't learn the joy of giving or the grace of giving. We just, you better give him your money. And God really doesn't even need our money because he owns everything. So giving is really not about money. Giving is really about trust. That's really all I'm saying is, God, I trust you. I believe your word, your Bible says what the Bible says. How many believe the Bible? How many believe God wrote it to help you? Yeah, so it's real simple to do what he said when we all believe he wrote it and we all believe he wrote it to help us, except that part about the money part. That, I think he was tricking us. No, we believe it. We either believe it or we don't. So when you give generously. Understand that everything you've got came from him. He gave you his very best. Why not give him your very best? Father, I thank you today for your word. Lord, you're so much, so much for us. And Lord, these little decisions that we can make in our life will help us to really enjoy life the way you plan for it, to get wisdom in different areas of our life, to expect your favor to show up, to give generously, to celebrate today. This is the day that you've made. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this great church. I thank you for these people. And I thank you for giving us your son. Why would you give your only son? You give your son because you wanted a family. You gave a son, and today this room is full of sons and daughters. It's full of your family. But there may be someone here today that's never become part of God's family. You've never asked Jesus into your life before, into your heart. You've never made that decision. Maybe you realize something's missing in your life. Whether you're here, whether you're over at the North County, or whether you're watching online. You see, there's something missing. You know what? I realize what it is. It's a relationship with Jesus. I've never received the gift that God gave his son. If you're here and you're one of two people, if you're watching, you're one of two people. Number one, you've never asked Jesus into your life before. You never made that decision to put God first place and his son Jesus first place in your life. Or number two, you're not at peace today with God. There's some areas of your life, some things in your heart that aren't where they should be. You're not at peace with God today, but you want to be. When you leave here today, you just want to know that your heart and your life is right with God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm just going to look across the building one time. We'll be done in just a few moments. As I look across the building one time, I'm going to count to three. If you're one of those two people, either number one, you've never asked him in your life before, number two, you're not at peace with God. Whether you're in this room, whether you're there at the North County campus, when I count to three, quickly lift your hand up. Say, Dave, when you pray that prayer, pray for me. One, two, three. Let me see your hand real quick. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, those that are watching online. Thank you at the North campus. Thank you in the balcony. Thank you. Thank you all through the balcony. Father, thank you for many hands all across the room, just about every section, and those watching on online service. Lord, I thank you that you don't just give us a desire to change, but, Lord, you give us the discipline to make the changes that we need to make. Lord, you don't condemn us, but you do convict us. And you show us areas of our life or things in our heart that may not be pleasing to you, but, Lord, you said it's real simple. If we give it to you, you'd remove it as far as the east is from the west. Today begins a new day. Those that lifted their hand just turned the page to a brand new chapter. You said it's real simple. All we have to do is believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. When we do that, it begins a brand new day, a brand new chapter in our life. What happened yesterday is over. Today begins a new day. Father, I thank you for that. With everyone, just say this with me, whether you raise your hand or whether you didn't. Believe in our heart, confess with our mouth. Say this with me. Say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. It's that simple, just putting him first place and saying it with your mouth, declaring that he is the Lord of your life. I'm telling you, that decision right there puts you on the path to making the rest of your life the best of your life, putting him first place in your life. Amen. Everyone say that with me. Say, the rest of my life will be the best of my life. I encourage you, keep declaring that. Keep speaking that over your life. Listen, if you can rearrange things, service, they're going to give you a couple more instructions just before we go. But if you can rearrange things to get back here tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, bring someone with you that maybe someone you work with or something. It'd be a great time to bring them with you. We're going to have a great time. And I'll be in the back to sign books, say hello to you as well. And you make an investment in yourself. Thanks. God bless you.
Dr. Day. Hey, before you take off, I know a lot of you throughout the whole room here, there's several of you that raised your hands. I know there's a bunch of you online that you were raising your hand if you're at Starbucks, or maybe you're even part of our group at the Orchard at our microsite. We want to welcome you and say we're glad you're with us. And if you were raising your hand, there's somebody there at the Orchard. There's people online that you can chat with. And for those of you that raise your hand in this room right here, please do not leave until you come pray with these folks down here. It's our pastoral support team. They want to get you resources. They want to pray with you. They want to encourage you.